Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan. Smashville lives here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan here alongside Nick Keezer. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday. Man, oh man, what a wild and crazy game for the Nashville Predators last night. A 7-6 overtime win against the New York Islanders. The Predators trailed 6-4 with 3:41 left after Scott Mayfield scored a shorthanded goal. But the Predators, they didn't back down. Steven Stamkos, Michael Bunting score late in regulation to tie the game before Fedor Svechkov scores the overtime winner, lifting the Predators to a 7-6 win. Get this, Keezer. Tuesday, according to the NHL, marked the fourth time in franchise history in which the Predators erased a multi-goal deficit within the final 3 minutes of regulation and won the game. So the way that I see it, my friend, is we know how terrible this season has been for the Predators. They have 4 games left this season. They were eliminated from postseason contention a couple of weeks ago. But if you're going to go out, don't go out with a whimper. Go out with a bang. So the crowd looked awesome last night, all things considered. They certainly got their money's worth with the Predators winning 7-6. Steven Stamkos led the way with 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. Jonathan Marchessault returning to the lineup after injury, 3 assists. Brady Shea also 3 assists. So the big free agent acquisitions stepping up. I feel like, Keezer, this is the type of scoring output that Predators fans were hoping for when Barry Trotz signed those 3 players in particular.
Of course.
You're not going to score 7 goals every game.
No.
But we expected far more firepower from this team this season. So it was like a little tease last night. Like, this is what it should have looked like.
Yeah, they've only scored 6 or more now 6 times this season. So there's that to go off of as well. But either way, it was impressive that they even came back and tied the game, to be honest with you. I mean, late in that one, I was already pre-thinking, this is what my story is going to be. It's the same thing it's been all year long, right? So, I mean, look, it was an interesting effort. Jonathan Marchessault was like, this is what you get for working hard and sticking with it. So, I mean, hey, they ended up winning and they broke their 6-game losing skid. Not that the losing skids are any bad, because the fans want the high picks. So they're at least going to be in picking 4th or 3rd, if I had to guess by now. But we'll see how that all turns out, Adam. But it was certainly an exciting game, probably the most exciting win at home this season.
So not only have the Predators won 4 games after rallying from a multi-goal deficit within the final 3 minutes of regulation across franchise history, the Predators also matched a franchise benchmark for most game-tying goals in a single game. 4 of them.
Okay,
so
did not know that.
Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I was watching the game when Scott Mayfield scored that goal to make it 6-4 on, let's call it, a controversial play.
That was interesting.
Was it Romanov. Was it Romanov who high-sticked Ryan O'Reilly?
Right. And
after Jonathan Marchessault broke his stick on the power play.
Yep.
O'Reilly and Marchessault collide, allowing the Islanders to get out on that odd man rush shorthanded to take a 6-4 lead. And normally, Keyser, in those situations, I would just say, well, that's it. Shut down my laptop. But for some reason, I decided to stick around, and I'm glad I did. And I hope that the Predators fans who stuck around when it was 6-4 enjoyed themselves, because you were at the game last night. I'm sure you saw plenty of Predators fans head for the exits after Scott Mayfield scored last night. But this is why you stick around for the end of the game.
Yeah, indeed. And like you, I was ready to not slam my laptop, but I was ready to close it and, you know, kind of write that game off, because I knew that this was something that was eerily similar to most games, except Andrew Brunette, still gone, by the way. I'm sure that we'll dive a little bit more into that. It doesn't mean too much. He's just turned into a family matter. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of been the same thing, the old adage of, hey, we're not scoring enough all season long. But yeah, that was interesting. Fans were leaving, but it wasn't that crazy. Not like it had been on over weekends when they're losing bad and people are just leaving after the second period's over. But yeah, no, people weren't leaving as much in droves as much as I thought that they would in this overtime win. And the place blew up after Svechkov scored the game winner. And by the way, Max Harris pointed this out, Adam. He's been on 3 overtime shifts this season in his career, being a rookie. On 2 of those shifts, he has the primary point on the game winner. He scored last night. Then he also assisted on Steven Stamkos' one-timer, also with Spencer Stastny out there on the ice as well. So, yeah, he's been making some massive plays when it matters the most. And if you're a Preds fan, that is something to be really, really encouraged by, especially with a player that is as young as he is, that's just trying to, you know, get his feet wet in the NHL this year. So, and one other stat too, because we love stats here on this program. I know that Adam does a good job with that, but this was also the 16th time in Preds franchise history that they've ever scored a game tying goal in the last 40 seconds of regulation to force overtime. It was the 6th time out of the 16 where they ended up winning in overtime. So that was interesting. My tweet was written a little bit, you know, strangely, I guess, around that, but it still makes sense to me. But yeah, thought that was interesting, Adam. And they didn't really let the old narrative get to them the other night, and it paid off.
Michael Bunting scores the game-tying goal with 40 seconds left. Through 14 games as a member of the Nashville Predators, you're getting the full Michael Bunting experience. 14 games, 4 goals, 6 points, 20 penalty minutes. So you're getting the full Michael Bunting experience. If you are unfamiliar with Michael Bunting, this is what you can expect from Michael Bunting. He gets right in front of the net. He scores a lot of so-called greasy goals. He's going to be right in the mix whenever things get a bit testy out there. He's probably going to take a penalty or two that he shouldn't take, but I feel like, to his credit, Michael Bunting has shown Predators fans what he's all about in these first 14 games.
Yeah, and he's been pretty confident, too. And greasy's the word that he uses constantly, and he's holding to it. He even started a little bit of a fracas last night in front of the Preds bench. So, I mean, he's going to continue to give you efforts like that night after night. And I'm glad that Nashville has something like that in their lineup, because it was missing for certain. I mean, I thought about who maybe was doing that to a similar capacity. I guess Jeremy Lazan was kind of that, but he didn't look out to go bug somebody or make a comment or anything like that. But also, too, kind of going back to later in the game, Adam, I don't know if you caught this, but the Preds also got called for unsportsmanlike. And after the game, Todd Richards was kind of like, yeah, that could have been on me. And then some of the players were like, yeah, maybe me too. I have no idea. But I thought it was when Jonathan Marchessault, during the stoppage, I don't know if it was caught on TV or not, I have to go back and go look, but he shot the puck around the wall after the ref blew the whistle. And I thought for sure that they were looking at him and they were like, all right, we've had enough, because they were going off on the referees after they missed Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, all the veterans, basically all your, quote, serial winners were over there serial arguing. It's like, hey, can we figure this out? Can we get a four-minute review here and get a power play? And they did not let him have it. But, yeah, there were a lot of weird things about the game last night. But regardless, here we are talking about them scoring seven goals, which has not happened very much this year whatsoever.
By the way, Michael Bunting, 9 minor penalties,
oh my
14
gosh.
Games since joining the Nashville Predators. No surprise there.
Yeah.
That leads the team. The next closest is 3.
Really? He has 3.
Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Philip Forsberg, Fedor Svechkov, and Nick Blankenberg have all taken 3 minor penalties since Michael Bunting made his Predators debut.
Yeah.
He has 9.
Well, when he left Pittsburgh, he led the team with PIMs and he led them with power play goals. How does that make sense?
He has a net penalty drawing to taken ratio of -4. He's drawn 5 penalties and taken 9 for a -4 differential, which is also the worst on the team. But this is the Michael Bunting experience. He can score goals. He will plant his tushy right in front of the net. But you're going to have to deal with some questionable decisions as well with Michael Bunting. But the Predators getting the full Michael Bunting experience through the first month of his Predators career. The Predators have 2 home games left this season, 4 games total, 2 home games left. They head out on the road. Their first trip to Salt Lake City to take on the Utah Hockey Club tomorrow, followed by a visit to Vegas. Jonathan Marchessault's return to Vegas. He had to wait until the end of the season to return to Vegas, where he made a name for himself as an original member of the Golden Knights. Won the Conn Smythe Trophy, won the Stanley Cup. I expect him to get quite the reception from the fans at T-Mobile Arena on Saturday night. The Predators then wrap up the season with 2 home games next week, Monday against the same Utah Hockey Club, and next Wednesday against the Dallas Stars. A little, you know, nice symmetry there, because the Predators opened the season with a home game against the Stars. They closed the season with a home game against the Stars. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, Barry Trotz joined Jared Stillman yesterday for their weekly conversation. A lot of talk about the future of the Predators organization. We will replay that interview coming up next. Adam Vinge with Nick Kieser. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vinge alongside Nick Kieser. The Predators return to action tomorrow night in Salt Lake City, their first trip to Salt Lake City. Predators versus the Utah Hockey Club, puck drop at 8, pregame at 7, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Yesterday inside Bridgestone Arena, Barry Trotz sat down for his weekly conversation with Jared Stillman. A lot of questions about the prospects and the future of the Predators organization. The conversation starts with questions about Matthew Wood's NHL debut and his future with the organization. Here is that conversation, Barry Trotz with Jared Stone.
I remember when he was drafted a couple years ago, and I remember just being shocked at how young he looked.
Being he still like, looks young.
I mean, this guy is he the kind of guy, he's going to get a couple of games up here.
Yeah.
But is he going to be like Joakim Kimmel, where he kind of stays in Milwaukee, you know, the plan for next year to be down there, and then maybe the next year to be down there and really grow into that 6'4" frame and kind of learn the way you want him to play Preds hockey, as opposed to rushing him up here to say, okay, we want him on the power play right now in the NHL?
Yeah, I you know, give him a perfect time frame. I think everybody's different, and we've talked about that. Probably the perfect thing for him is, you know, one of the things that young guys will struggle with, you know, you'll have this first pop when you first come up, but dealing with the what we call Groundhog Day, you play every second day, how can you, you know, up every day versus the college where you could get ramped up for a weekend, all that. Yeah, we'll take it slowly with him, and his own play and his production and all that will dictate how fast he gets here, or how much time he plays in Milwaukee. All that will be based on, you know, where we feel he is. But he's going to get stronger. He's going to learn the game. He's got hockey IQ, which is really important in this game. He's got some scoring ability and playmaking ability. And you saw that a little bit tried to make some plays, which I was glad I didn't. I was glad he just didn't pop it in the corner and not try to make a play. I think that's something that you want all your young players to do, is you can try to make plays, the right plays at the right time.
Barry Trotz is with us on the program. So one thing that I saw the latest prospect rankings, you guys have the eighth best prospect pool according to The Athletic. Now, I'm sure you probably have internal numbers, and I don't know if those are the same, but yeah. Regardless, the one thing that I guess I fear when I know the names that are down there that are going to get opportunities, and Wood's one of them, but when it comes to how they rank these players, it doesn't seem like they look at the Predators' prospects and see an impact breakout player. You know, it's a lot of this guy could be a third-line winger. This guy could be a third-pair defenseman. So when it comes to the guys like Wood and Mullendijk and Schaefer and Kemmel and Gibson, and I do wonder, do you look at these guys and see potential first-line and second-line players, first-pair defensemen, and think that these prospect gurus may be underestimating it? Or do you look at it like, okay, we've probably got solid players that we're going to develop, but we do need to get some more impact guys that can be first-line and first-pair players?
Yeah, no, I think we have a lot of I feel we have a lot of second-line players that we, you know, a lot of guys, like you look at Edstrom, depending on who you talk to or who, what scout you talk to or what, you know, sort of product at the prospect rankings, whatever, they all have their own thing. You know, you look at a guy like, take Edstrom, he's going to be, I know he's going to be at least a third line player, but I really feel that he could be like an Eriksson Ek type of guy. Mm-hmm. A guy that's second line, can play third line, he can play there, but he plays the right way, and he's going to give you big-time minutes and score you important goals and all that. So I think it's a blend of each, and everybody develops a little bit different, too. There's, you know, if I went by prospect ranking, you know, a guy like Patrick Hornquist wouldn't have had any kind of a career. You know, he wasn't ranked by a lot of people, never got a lot of fanfare.
You can use Patrick Hornquist on this team right now.
Yeah, we absolutely can. And so everybody's a little different. And sometimes there's a lot of guys that are overrated, and you'll see that as time goes by. A lot of them are sexy picks because of what they did in junior. Well, we don't play junior hockey. We play NHL hockey. And some guys become NHL players, and some guys don't. They were just good juniors or good American League players. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. I challenge our scouts, like, this is what they're saying about us. So are they right or are they wrong? And, you know, usually our scouts will say they're wrong. And I said, you know, but at the same time, that's the challenge is, hey, let's see if we can be number one. Why not be number one? So we got to continue, you know, and this is a good opportunity for us this year. We got, you know, the curse of this year is this year. The blessing of this year is we're going to get a high pick, and we better hit on it.
When it comes to the big picture, you know, and these aren't the fun questions to ask, but, you know, it is what it is. When it comes to the big picture, and you're sitting down with ownership, and this was a year that I had high expectations for. You guys made the playoffs last year. It obviously didn't go the way you wanted to, and midway through the year, you made a pivot towards the kind of, when you're talking about these prospects with them and the future and everything else, what is their reaction? Is their reaction the idea of, you know what, yeah, we knew this was going to be a big long-term plan with these young guys, and we want to see how they develop and through that? Or is it a, you know what, let's ramp up the timetable, let's stick them in the NHL now and next season so that maybe some of that talent can pour through to the team?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I have the quarterly meetings a lot of time with our ownership. I have a really good relationship with Bill Haslam and Sean Henry, who's in the organization there, the guys that I talk to for the most part, and Michelle Kennedy, and you know, the expectations, we expected to be better this year, no question, and we haven't met those expectations at all. In my opinion, you know, it's been a trying year. It's been one of those uncomfortable years that you can't explain all the stuff that's gone on with our hockey team. It's just. But at the same time, I can't accept it. We've got to get better. If we bring, you know, say the group starts, you know, at the end of the season, the group that we have right there is what that's our base. And then you look at our prospect base. Milwaukee's having a really good year again. I was in Austin this weekend. They were fighting for first place with Dallas's farm team. We have a chance. That team has a chance to go far this year. I want those kids to win so that when they come up here, they know about winning. They know about winning, and they've done it. And hopefully that group can grow together. The kids that we have coming out, we may have another four or five top picks in Milwaukee. We might have a really young team in Milwaukee next year. So that prospect line that we talked to, and I talked to Bill or I talked to Sean or I talked to our hockey people, that is part of where we got to get to. We got to build that new foundation of a team. We've got some older players, but we don't have those middle players. We got some young players. We need more of those 25-year-olds. That's why, you know, I pivoted on taking a chance on Jason or Justin Barron, for instance. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that he was a player that was maybe a little bit undervalued. Now you see him playing pretty regular. He's a guy that's growing. You see the shot. You see the skating ability. Now he's got to get that, you know, the confidence to the next level, and then hopefully the production follows there. So those are the things that we're trying to implement so that, you know, as I said, the plan was to try to stay in a little bit of a window with Yossi and Forsberg and Saros and, you know, fight for a playoff spot. And when, if we got into the playoffs, we'd be, you know, much more mature and have some of those game changers that can score goals for us. And, you know, Stamkos and Marchessault and those guys have done, they've actually scored for us. If they're not scoring for us, we don't have a lot there that are scoring. All that depth scoring that you need to win in this league. So we got to build that new core. We're going to continue to blend next year. And I'll probably be patient. Like, free agency won't be a big deal next year. There's not a lot out there. There's a couple big names, but there's not a lot out there. Probably going to be looking to do some hockey trades and probably looking to do some trades with some of our draft choices in terms of, you know, our picks and what have you.
So when it comes, Barry Trotz is with us on the program, when it comes to, again, working in those guys and then taking them, you know, and sending them to Milwaukee, is there anybody in Milwaukee right now that you want to get, you know, that playoff run this year, but you view them as a piece of this team next year, whether it is Kimmel, Schaefer, whomever? Is there anybody that right now you can say, hey, I think this guy right now, he's penciled in as a Nashville Predator next year, or my expectation or my hope would be that he'll be on the Predators.
I won't pencil anybody, and I think that's unfair because everybody comes in the camp and you want. But I will say this, that the guys that I expect to be here in terms of fighting for a job and if they come and do what I think they can, that they could win a job, is, you know, obviously Svechkov, who's already here well before his time. LaRue, we thought would be up and down this year. He's been here. But guys that you haven't seen as much and you might have seen in glimpses, I would say a guy like Ozzie Weisblatt. He's had a really good season. I believe that he can take the next step. And then that was the trade for Igor Afanasyev. He's got a level of compete and speed and stuff like that. A little bit smaller, but he doesn't play small. And then Reed Schaefer, if he would have been healthy this year, he would have been playing here pretty regular, I would think. But I think next year, with missing a whole big chunk of the season, we'll probably start him in Milwaukee, and then I expect him to be right here on the team. And then obviously guys like Edstrom will get a good opportunity next year to fill a spot. And
he'll be in North America next year?
Yep, and then obviously Kemmel. Kemmel's another guy that Kemi has. You know, he's got the shot. He's got the compete. He's not afraid. Just going to work on a little bit of his quickness and the speed. You know, but we that's part of our DNA is the guys that are already here. Going forward, I want to draft speed. I want more speed. I want some size on the back end. So we have to draft that way, and that's I'm gonna ask that of our scouts. I'm gonna ask that of Jeff Kelty, who's the head of our scouting department. But that's our needs, and obviously we need a center iceman, but we also need some defensemen. And you know, the rankings that are out there, they have the Schaefer's a first pick. We get first pick. We're gonna take the best player. If it's a forward, a winger, or a center, we're gonna take the best player if we get the first pick. After that,
who's the best player?
I can't tell you. You just have to read
your... Have you made up your mind, though? Like, right now, if the Nashville Predators were on the clock with the first pick, do you know who you would draft?
I would.
Misa.
Oh, you want a reaction from me?
Yes!
No, you're not getting any reaction from me.
So I actually do have this question. Barry Trotz with us on the program, which is, I'm sure it's not in your office anywhere. It might just be up here. It might be on a computer program that's super encrypted, though I'm not sure if I would trust your level of technology to be able to work the super encryptions. You've got to have somebody come in there.
I can barely open the email.
I assume that. So I bet you have it somewhere where you're like thinking of the lines next season, and that's why I kind of asked you about Kimmel. Like, do you see Kimmel up here? But when you're putting it together for next year, like, I know Forsberg's on the list for next year. I know Michael Bunting, for instance, is on the list for next year as you see him on the team. And do you have a spot open in the center of that ice for somebody that might be Misa, might be Hagans, might be one of these guys that if the ping pong balls fall your way, you may get that you look at and you say, you know what? Screw Milwaukee. He's ready for Nashville. We're going to put him out there as a kid and go from there. Do you have that on your docket?
I do have that an open mind on that docket, yes. There's a couple players I think that could transition and play in the National Hockey League this year. You look at Connor Bedard, I mean, who is all world coming out of junior. It hasn't been, you know, he's done really well offensively, but there's still lots of things that he needs to work on in his game. We would probably be in that type of situation where you might guard, play him some guarded minutes at times, put him in offensive roles and stuff like that. No different than we're doing with Svechkov a little bit at times or early in the season here. Now he's getting a little more regular against let's say higher competition on a regular basis. So that's you got to be open minded because there's some young players that are able to do that.
So I will say this. If I'm right about this, will you give me just like the little look, just like the something like that?
No.
I just want to know who you want to take number one. Do you play with the little mock draft simulators to see how often you end up in the top three or to see? Because I sometimes click those and I get upset how often I don't end up in the top three. Because I'm told that the top three is where you need to be this year to get one of those three good players. And that San Jose wants the defenseman no matter what. And I could see you, like, if you get one and San Jose gets two, I could see you trading back with San Jose so they can make sure they get the defenseman and then you can get the center and then maybe pick up something else. But every time I do the little sim lottery over here, sometimes it's, oh, you're picking fifth now. That's bad. Up, oh, sim it again. Oh, you're picking fourth now. And it frustrates me. So you don't do any of that.
No, that would frustrate me. I don't even know what that is.
Tankathon.com?
No.
Probably not your favorite website either.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't have it on my list.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday with Jared Stillman on Stillman & Company. Always an interesting listen. Good to know that Barry Trotz doesn't know what Tankathon.com is. I should have that bookmarked. I don't. I visit it a lot. But we will discuss some of the more interesting things that Barry Trotz said to Jared Stillman yesterday. Coming up next, this is Adam Vingan with Nick Kieser, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser, we're here with you. We just heard from Barry Trotz. He sat down with Jared Stillman yesterday on Stillman & Company. By the way, I think it's pretty safe to say, Kieser, that the Predators are locked in to 30th place in the NHL. They're not going to catch San Jose. San Jose is 14 points behind the Predators.
Wow.
Chicago is 10 points behind the Predators. I suppose the Predators could move up to 29th. They have four games left. The Flyers have five games left. The Flyers are 7 points up on the Predators. So I guess technically the Predators could surpass the Flyers, but it's highly unlikely if my math is correct. So the Predators are locked in to 30th place, which would give them an 11.5% chance of winning the NHL draft lottery when that comes around, I believe, next month.
Yeah,
is
I think
the NHL draft.
Chris
lottery.
Johnson said either May 5th or 6th.
Okay, so about a month from now,
right.
We'll find out where the Predators will draft in the upcoming NHL draft. But if they finish in 30th, they will have an 11.5% chance of securing the number one pick in the draft. So the most interesting thing in that interview, Keyser, was Barry Trotz telling Jared Stillman that he knows who he would take with the number one overall pick in the NHL draft if the Predators are fortunate enough to win the lottery and move up from number three to number one. And there are really three players who come to mind when it comes to the number one overall pick in the NHL draft. There's Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman out of Erie in the OHL, James Hagans, the center out of Boston College, and Michael Misa, the center out of Saginaw of the Ontario Hockey League. Here's my question to you, Keyser. I actually have two questions. Number one, who do you think Barry Trotz has in mind? And number two, which of those three players would piss off Predators fans the most if Barry Trotz selected him with the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I think it's still arbitrary, but for me, when I think about that, I go immediately to the Schaefer kid. Matthew Schaefer.
Defenseman.
Is that his name? Yeah.
Yep, Matthew Schaefer, not to be confused with Reed Schaefer.
Correct,
who's
yes.
a prospect in the Predators organization. Matthew Schaefer
mm-hmm.
is a 6'2", 183-pound defenseman playing for Erie
yep.
in the Ontario Hockey League, the Erie Otters.
Yep. So there's a lot of really good comparisons for him. And look, the reason I'm saying that might piss Preds fans off is strictly just because of him being a D-man. I
yes.
mean, they've got Andrew Gibson, Tanner Mullendike, Ryan Ufko, I guess Jake Livingston or Livingston, as Barry Trotz says, that I guess they see something in him. They've got Delgazzo and Stastny. Look, and they have Nick Blankenberg now. So, you know, fans are thinking that way, but things are going to change, I think, this summer. So, but I think that would piss them off the most, to be honest with you. But I think he would consider it. Honestly, because he knows Roman Josi's not getting any younger, and I think at some point or another, they're going to have to address that. So, handedness or not, they need a dynamic guy that can move the puck and that can also score you some big goals. Roman Josi's been doing that for years, over a decade now at this point. So, that's interesting. My gut feeling is saying that they will draft a number one centerman. I could not imagine how much David Poile would be salivating at the idea of taking a centerman because he's always wanted one. I go back to that press conference he had years ago when I was still in high school when they traded for Ryan Johansson. And he said, hey, we have an opportunity to trade for a number one centerman in my mind. So we did it. And he's always wanted one, and they've never been able to draft one, Adam. David Legwin was not that whatsoever. So I think that might be what they end up doing. And when I had my chat with Scott Nickel on Beyond the Point, it was interesting that he brought up to me, well, it was kind of like a laughing thing. I just mentioned, hey, you know, Hagans and Teddy Stiga on the same team, and they're in college, and he's like, yeah, how great would that be? And I'm like, oh, well, maybe the Preds are thinking about taking someone they're familiar with and got a little bit of a scoop on because the roommates are all together most of the day. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. Michael Misa is interesting. I've not looked too much into him, but he was just with Joey Willis for a little bit in the juniors. And that would be interesting to see. He scored a lot of goals this year, had over 100 points, I think. So, yeah, it would be interesting. But in college, you know, they obviously brought up Matthew Wood, so they feel good about the college level, at least at some sense. So, yeah, Adam, I think that's kind of where I stand on that as of right now, at least.
I agree with you that there will be Predators fans who, if the Predators have the number one overall pick and they take Matthew Schaefer, there are going to be Predators
oh, yes.
fans who are mad
yes.
because they took a defenseman instead of a center. But Scott Wheeler recently released his top 64 rankings of the NHL draft prospects. And Matthew Schaefer is number one. He is in tier one with Michael Misa. Tier two starts with James Hagans. But this is what Scott Wheeler wrote in part about Matthew Schaefer. Quote, Schaefer, who was the number one pick in the 2023 OHL draft, has now emerged as a front runner to be the number one pick in the 2025 NHL draft, despite missing much of his draft year with mono to start and then a broken collarbone suffered in the second game of the World Juniors. He didn't get back to skating until March 13th. Even with the shortened draft year, though, Schaefer has impressed scouts so much over the last year and a half, domestically and especially internationally, that he has put himself in the pole position. Later, Wheeler writes, quote, he's mature beyond his years in terms of reads and decision-making. He's competitive and is, by all accounts, a great kid who leads by example. Schaefer looks like a projectable number one to two defenseman who covers a ton of territory, can influence play in all four corners and three zones of the rink, and is never in a bad spot because of his ability to flow and gallop across the ice. I like the galloping yes. across the ice.
Yep.
So that was Scott Wheeler, who has Matthew Schaefer as his number one prospect in the upcoming draft. And as you said, Nick, Predators fans have been lusting for a young center who can become, no pun intended, the centerpiece of this organization moving forward. James Hagans and Michael Mesa would fit that criteria. But you also have to think about life after Roman Josi. And that's coming sooner than you think, especially with the injury concerns that Roman Josi has. So although drafting another defenseman may not excite Predators fans or some Predators fans, they do need someone to replace Roman Josi. And by most accounts, Matthew Schaefer appears to be a young defenseman who could do that at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And for context, too, I just looked this up just to kind of make sure. So since the Predators became a team, Adam, there have been four defensemen taken number one overall. So, and quite frankly, the list is kind of interesting. You have Owen Power, who was drafted by the Buffalo Sabres. You have Rasmus Dahlin, also drafted by the Sabres. And then you go down the line, Aaron Ekblad was drafted by the Florida Panthers. And then all the way down to 2006, Eric Johnson was drafted by the Blues. And I mean, aside from Eric Johnson, that's a pretty good list, I would say. But there's still yet to be seen from a guy like Owen Power. That is interesting, though, that there's only been four. I mean, D-man don't go very high in the draft like that, number one overall, very often. So just for context sake. So if it does happen, there is that to go off of as well. And most of those guys came out of junior, not college. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's bring up Rasmus Dahlin, because he is one of those few defensemen. And look, the Sabres, they're missing the playoffs, I believe, now for the 14th consecutive season.
Yep.
Which ties the New York Jets for the longest active playoff drought in North American professional sports.
Yeah.
It's been that long since the Sabres made
the
playoffs.
It's also been the time release of both GTA 5 and 6. For all the youngins listening. Yeah.
I still remember walking into GameStop to buy GTA 3 as like a 12-year-old. And I was like, yeah, whatever, you can have it. Even though I was, 12 years old and probably shouldn't have been able to buy a rated M game by myself, but nevertheless.
Yeah.
But let's look at Dahlin, for example. His past three seasons, so including this season, two seasons ago, he had 73 points. He played more than 25 minutes per game. He also played more than 25 minutes per game last season and had 59 points. This season, he has 62 points and is playing just over 24 minutes per game. That's the type of defenseman you need if you are drafting someone with the number one overall pick.
I agree, yeah.
So although the Sabres have not benefited from having Dahlin because they continue to miss the playoffs, there's no doubt that Dahlin is a special player. And keep in mind that Dahlin is just 24 years old.
Yeah.
And he's playing those minutes. He was playing those minutes as a 21-year-old, as a 22-year-old. So if Matthew Schaefer can turn into a Rasmus Dahlin, you're hoping for Roman Josi, right? But even someone like Dahlin, that would be great for the Predators, because we know the Predators as a defenseman factory, and they've done an excellent job over the course of the franchise's history of drafting and developing defensemen. Now, forwards is a different story. But I am predicting it now. The Predators win the draft lottery. I'm just imagining it, not predicting it.
Yes.
I'm imagining it now. The Predators win the draft lottery. The draft is in Los Angeles. Gary Bettman takes the podium with the number one overall pick in the 2025 NHL draft. The Predators select Matthew Schaefer. And then there are going to be Predator fans like, oh no, they took a defenseman.
Yep, now you're doing your best, Jared.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What do you think? How do you think Jared will react?
Well, he's not going to react like he did when the Titans drafted Peter Skoronski. And if he does, and if it's even worse than that, then we've got more problems. But yeah,
A guard. You took a defenseman with the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
not my best Jared.
No, impression. You don't have to impersonate Jared. It's all right.
He's one of one.
He is one of one.
But it is interesting that 2+ months out from the NHL draft, Barry Trotz knows which player he would take with the number one overall pick.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, and he's that public about it too, Adam. So, but yeah, I mean, for the Preds to kind of have that outlook, I mean, I don't even think David Poile was pretty outspoken, but I don't think he would have said what, you know, Barry just said on Stillman & Company on Tuesday. I think that still might change, to be honest with you. He may say he knows who he wants. I think that's going to change.
Coming up next on Preds Insiders, it's going to get a little sad, everybody. If you're driving, grab a tissue. Wait till you're at a red light, but grab a tissue because it's going to get a little bit sad in here, a little dusty. I'll explain why coming up next. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser, this is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan with Nick Kieser. Predators return to action. Their final road trip of the season starts tomorrow in Utah against the Utah Hockey Club. An 8 o'clock puck drop. The road trip continues on Saturday night against the Vegas Golden Knights. A 9 o'clock puck drop in Vegas before the Predators return home for their final two home games of the season. On Monday against Utah and Wednesday against Dallas. So before the break, I mentioned, grab your tissues, everybody. So in case you missed it, this is Kieser's final week at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He made that announcement on Monday on Robbie and Rex Road, but this is also going to be our final edition of Preds Insiders together. The show will continue without Kieser. It certainly won't be the same. But the show will continue without Kieser. But this is the last time that Kieser and I will do Preds Insiders together. I don't know why I said doobie. Doobie, doobie, doobie.
I thought you were going to say Behind Enemy Lines, my old segment on the pregame show.
Nevertheless, I want to take a moment because Kieser, he's a modest young man. I want to take a moment to say some kind words about Nick Kieser, which may come as a shock to him because I always like to give him crap.
Yes, he does, regularly.
There are things I call Kieser that are not suitable for air.
Yeah, FCC's going to come after you.
But I do it in a brotherly sort of way.
Yes, I need that. I'm the oldest.
I do it in a brotherly sort of way. So Kieser is 26 years old. And why I like to pick on Kieser and give him all types of crap is because there are parts of Kieser that remind me of myself at his age. And at his age.
With more hair, though, right?
I wasn't balding when I was 26. This is a shaved head. I want to make that perfectly
clear.
It is a shaved head.
Right.
I am not bald. I am balding, and I shave it. But this isn't about my hair. This is about you. Kieser, he's 26. He's ambitious. He works hard. He wants to grab a foothold in the hockey reporting community. And I think he's done a really wonderful job of it. And it reminds me of when I first started in this business, how badly I wanted to be a part of the hockey reporting community and how hard I worked. I had a blog. I showed up to every practice and game I could, tried to get to know people, hoping that it would one day turn into something bigger. And I have been fortunate to have been in Nashville for 10 years now, mostly serving as a Predators reporter and now, of course, a member of this fine radio station. And Keyser, he's off to do bigger and better things. But I have a lot of confidence in Nick that he is going to achieve his goals because I see how hard he works. And I'm rooting for him, as should all of you, because Keyser's put in a ton of work behind the scenes here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You know him as the producer on Robbie and Rex Road, when he's out at Predators practice. He's at all the games. He's got his own podcast. He does a lot of work to cover the Predators and provide the best possible coverage of the Predators for all of you, which he's going to continue to do.
Yes, indeed.
Even though he's not going to be here. So each and every time Keyser says, you know, he likes to make fun of me by saying, I can't believe you're the guy that I was reading all of those years ago because he's gotten to know me.
Yep.
It makes me feel old as crap, although I'm only 10 years older than Keyser.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've as much as I like to tease you and poke and prod you, you've done a wonderful job for our station. You've done a wonderful job establishing yourself in this market as a voice that Predators fans can trust. And I trust that you will continue to do that. We will all miss you. All Predators fans will miss you at this station. I will miss you. I know that we'll continue to be friends and work alongside one another. But I just wanted to give you a few moments to say your piece because I know that Robbie and Joe, they like to gab, gab, gab.
They do.
They may not give you enough time.
I don't know. We'll find out.
To say your piece. So I want you to have the opportunity to share with all of our listeners where you're going and what you hope to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for the kind words. And yes, I was reading Adam. I was reading Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, several other reporters as well that I see now on a regular basis and have become a part of. It's been a fun little journey here. I mean, I started here part-time and just put in my man hours as much as I possibly could while I was still in college and was here over the weekend. And, you know, I have religiously covered this team for a long time, that I like to say. And I played hockey and I still play every now and then. And it's just my bloodline. Like I was talking to Matthew Wood, it's all I've known. And that's what he told me too. He's like, this is all I've known in my life. So sports has been a huge influence on me. It's been a privilege to be part of the radio station that covers the Predators and ultimately has Pete Weber on it. And Pete was someone I listened to for years and years and years, obviously, and, you know, rode downtown listening to him on the pregame show and heard him on the air on all the away games for the most part. And, you know, even working with Willie, your co-host, has been awesome as well. And sitting down with him for interviews and conversations has been fun as well on the side. And Max Hers does a great job. Max has a bright future here in this market too, by the way, if you ask me. But yeah, several people, and I think my best thing that I would like to say is if you love something, just go for it. I mean, that's what I've done in every avenue of my career so far, and it's paid dividends. So you never know where you're going to be, and my Preds coverage will continue. It will be over with 440 Sports here in town. Formerly of 102.5 The Game as well, Braden Gall. He does a great job with some other shows. Paul Kaharski has his podcast over there. I'm going to be able to contribute over there. It's called Lower Broad Hockey. So stay over there and subscribe to us because it's a great medium. Adam's on the team for a little bit here as well. I've been over there for a little bit this season. So several of us do a really good job breaking our backs to cover this team, and I'm so glad that that can keep going. And in the meantime, I'm still looking for a gig, maybe for a team, maybe for somewhere else to cover a team, and whether that's here, whether that's elsewhere, the wife and I are more than happy to explore our options, Adam. But thank you for giving me just a second here to kind of weigh that and share my thoughts. But it's been a pleasure, man. I'm looking forward to seeing how the program evolves over time, Adam, but it's been a pleasure to work with you, and I will still have the pleasure of working with you for quite some time.
Yes, we all appreciate all you have done for our station. I know Robbie and Joe, of course, do. I certainly do, with helping me produce this show every week and providing your insight into the Predators. It's been wonderful to work with you, and I know Predators fans will miss you as well. So wipe those tears away, Predators fans. Keyser is leaving us, but he's not leaving Nashville. He'll still be here reporting on the Predators. Does an excellent job of doing so. Make sure to support his work in his next endeavor. He's off to bigger and better things. But that'll do it for us on Preds Insiders tonight. The show will go on without Keyser, but this is the final edition with Nick Keyser. The Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Utah Hockey Club. A little bit of a later start, an 8 o'clock puck drop, a 7 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. For the last time, for Nick Keyser, I'm Adam Vingan. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.